This is Heather Johnson, and you're listening to the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, episode number 118, Being Good with Uncertainty. This podcast is for people who want to take their health physically, emotionally, and spiritually to a whole new level using Ayurvedic medicine, the ancient healing tradition from India. This is the Ayurveda Life School Podcast, and I'm your host, Heather Johnson. Hello, my friends. Welcome to the podcast today. If you have been following the show for a while, you might have noticed that no episode uploaded last week. And I want to tell you a little story so that you know what is going on inside the Ayurveda Life School world and in my world so that that will make more sense to you. So I want to start this week's episode with a little backstory. I've been married for 23 years. And when I was dating my husband, he lived in one town, I lived in another town. And when we were together, it was like this intense emotion because we only got to see each other on the weekends. He played basketball in college. I was busy with studies. And so we would spend this time together and it was kind of like concentrated emotion energy. And we started doing this funny thing when we would chat and we would say things like, well, when we get married, and then we would kind of fill in the blanks, you know, about how we would parent or what kind of house we would buy or where we would want to live. And so it just became basically a running joke. And it was a conversation we would have often. And so one day, and we'd never at this point actually talked about getting married. So that's an important part of the story. We'd never really discussed if we wanted to get married. And we'd been dating at this point about a year and a half. We were still really young, and culturally, we were in Utah. People do get married pretty young here, but it still was kind of early in our courtship. And so one night, we're laying there snuggling, chatting, talking, you know, all the things that young couples do when they're spending time together. And he said, well, when we get married, and I didn't really let him finish this sentence, and I just said, yes. And he looked at me kind of wondering what on earth I was doing. And I said, yes, I'll marry you. And the pitta in me came out wanting to be organized and structured about this whole thing. And I pulled out my Franklin planner. This was 23 years ago, friends. And I pulled out my planner book, flipped to a page in April. At this point, it was probably December. Flipped to a page in April and said, April's a really good month for me. When's good for you? And that is how we got engaged. And when we tell people that story, they kind of laugh because my husband now, who was my boyfriend then, had zero intention of making this an official thing. He was figuring, yeah, sometime in the future, maybe we'll get married and sometimes maybe this will happen. But I had felt so strongly for quite a while that he was the person that I wanted to be with. And so for whatever reason, in that moment, I decided to seize the day and step into uncertainty and take on this relationship and go to the next level. And we did end up getting married, although he was a little surprised. It was kind of like he got caught up in the whirlwind. So that story is relevant to what is happening now. You guys may have been seeing in my emails, I've mentioned recently that I really love Jackson Hole, Wyoming. My husband's from there. He was born and raised. I had never been there until we were dating. Didn't even know it existed. And went up to see him there and was just entranced with the whole beauty of the area. It's right near Yellowstone National Park and the Grand Teton National Park, both of which are incredible places. If you've never been there, if you haven't enjoyed that part of nature, put that on your short list because it's a gorgeous place to go. Beautiful mountains, lots of forest, very natural terrain. It's just lovely. So he and I really enjoy being up there. His parents still live there. We go see them quite a bit, which is great because it's an expensive place to vacation if you're going to stay in a hotel. So if you're going to go there, go camping. It's a lot cheaper. But when we would go up to see his folks for at least the last decade, every time we're there, we would call a realtor and we'd go look at properties. And they were typically way out of our budget, like not even a possibility, because they typically were at least 2 to 3 times more expensive than the current place that we lived, just because they cost a lot, not because they were bigger or fancier. And there's just not a lot of land there. It's kind of at a premium. So this last time when we were up there, my son, who is 16, was with us, and my daughter, who is 19, has been staying up there for the summer and working at a company that does whitewater rafting trips, which is so fun if you've never done whitewatering down the Snake. Again, something I highly advise. So I was up there. We were over there on the 4th of July. We do a big family gathering every year. We call it Floyd Stock. My father-in-law's name is Floyd. And so we just kind of have nicknamed this gathering Floyd Stock. And it was just a magical week watching my 16 and 19 year old interact and seeing how my son was really blossoming. He has a really hard time. His life's not been easy. And he's struggled a lot with emotional, you know, just sadness. And I'm not sure if we would clinically just define him as depressed, but he does kind of tend towards that way. And he's had a hard time with friends. He just never really fit where we lived. And seeing that he only had 2 years left in high school, it was just sad to kind of see the path that his life was on and feel pretty helpless as a parent. And you just want to do what's best for your kids, right? You always want to step up and kind of be in that space for them. And so watching how he was really just kind of coming out of that shell while we were in Jackson was just beautiful to see. And he was spending a lot of time with his sister, who had made lots of friends up there. So they were going out at night and doing crazy adventures. And Jackson is all about adventure. If you have a, like, you know, an 18 to 23 year old youth in your family, fantastic place to go live for the summer. Tons of really great outdoors jobs, and it's a really fun environment. The kids are really great up there. So my son is interacting with all of them. They're really doing well. I'm watching this, and we, of course, looked at some real estate when we were there because we always do. And again, it was out of our reach. And as we're driving home, it's about a 5-hour drive for us from Jackson to Salt Lake City, Utah. So as we're driving home, I'm just chatting with my husband, and you know, when you're on a long car ride with your partner, you tend to just kind of talk about everything. And so one of the things that we were chatting about was how well my son was doing when we were there and real estate up there. And we've wanted to get up there for such a long time. We've really wanted to move back to Jackson. But my oldest daughter was a swimmer, still is a swimmer, and we really needed to get her through her youth and get her graduated from high school so that she could have an opportunity to go and swim in college, and we didn't want to take her good coaching and all that away from her. So we knew it wasn't really an option until about a year ago. And I've just been kind of feeling a pull since last year, but couldn't see how we could make it happen. Like, it just didn't seem possible. And so I said to my husband, I really want to get up there before I'm too old to enjoy it. Because the beauty of Jackson is the outdoors. And I don't want to get to a stage in life where maybe I'm not able to do all those things or I'm missing out on some of that. And I said, and beyond that, look at how well Everest has done. That's my son's name. Look how well Everest has done up there. I mean, he deserves to live in the Tetons, right? When you have a name like Everest, you should definitely live near large mountains. So my husband and I were just bantering, and then I said, there's the key sentence. So do you think if I found us a rental house up there that maybe we could make something work? And it was just an offhand comment. I wasn't really setting a huge intention by saying it, but I was taking that desire or that sankalpa of the heart, and I was putting it out there, right? I was kind of inviting the universe to help me figure out how to make this happen. And my husband said, yeah, sure, that would be fine, not thinking anything of it. We proceeded to get home. He flew out of town for work, and he was gone for about 4 or 5 days, and I started searching. And I'm looking on Zillow, and I'm looking on all the online resources, and I'm trying to find a rental house. And there are hardly any. And they are about 4 times more expensive than our current mortgage payment just for rent. So they were not within our budget, really. And then I started looking at, well, what if we rented out our house? Could we make this work? So I just sat and kind of played with it and just stayed with it, like sat with it for a few days, didn't really do anything. Then I just decided, I'm going to take the leap. We're going to see what happens here. And so I applied for this rental house in Jackson. And mind you, there was literally 2 houses for rent in the entire valley. One of which was just a townhome, the second of which was an actual house with a yard that could handle our family, that would be perfect for our family. And so there was a slim chance, right, that we were going to get it, because basically anyone else who's wanting to rent a house in Jackson would have those options as well. So there was a lot of people applying for the house, lots of options or lots of people wanting it. And what is so funny is when you apply for a house through Zillow, it's a website that lists different homes if you're not familiar with it. It's actually really fun. Most of your houses are on there, especially if you live in the United States. So you can go on and look at your house and see property value and stuff. But when you apply on there, it pulls your credit and you have to get permission. And because my husband is a co-applicant on the application, I had to put his information in as well. Now, I had not talked to him about this yet. He was really busy doing his job. I was leaving him alone because he was out of town. And so I thought, well, I'll just see. I'll put some feelers out. And so he received an alert on his email from Zillow saying that his credit had been pulled. And he sends me an email and says, was this you? And I looked at that and I thought, oh, should I write back? Because I hadn't told him that I'd applied for this house. And it had only been one sentence that I'd mentioned it, even a possibility. And so I told him, yeah, it was me. You said if I could find a good house, dot, dot, dot. That was my whole reply. And he wrote back the best answer ever. It was two words. He wrote back, let's go. And so the last 2 weeks so far have just been a whirlwind. We have completely uprooted our lives. We're in the middle of packing our home, which is not an easy feat. When you've lived somewhere for 9 years, you tend to accumulate. And we're in the process of setting up renters and finding renters for our house and getting all of the utilities switched over and figuring out schools and work and schedules and how to get everything where we need it to be in a really short period of time, because we have to be out of our home 2 weeks from the day that I'm recording this. So in total, we had 4 weeks to get this all together, which is not a lot of time to orchestrate an entire move, especially considering that I sent my oldest two up to Wyoming. So I had my son go join my daughter, and he found a job up there right away at a fun ski resort that does summer activities. And so they're both there. I don't have their help. And I've got my little one here at home and then my other teenager that's 13. So it has been really an interesting couple of weeks, which is why there was no episode posted last week, because I was still trying to wrap my head around it. And this change so quickly has really rocked Vata for me. My Vata energy is all over the place, and I'm waking up a lot earlier in the morning because there's so much activity happening in my mind. And so during that peak Vata time around 4 a.m., I'm completely awake. So I usually will wake up early to meditate and to do spiritual practices, and it's been really challenging to kind of shift my energy when I wake up so that I don't immediately go and start packing something or working on a project that needs to happen before we move. So what I wanted to share today from this whole story is how we get good with uncertainty. Because right now, my life is nothing but uncertainty, and my kids' lives is nothing but uncertainty. We have a vision or an intention that we're setting into. We're moving into this intention of creating this beautiful life together up in Jackson, Wyoming, and what that could look like. But we really don't know, right? It's like anything that you do that is new or different. You don't really know. I really have felt so pulled by my dharma and by sankalpa, which is your heart's desire, and by that inner voice that is my highest self, calling me to something bigger, calling me to move into this space. And I can't even explain it with words. It's more emotional. But when you know that this path that you're on needs to shift and you keep resisting it, it becomes more difficult to stay on your current path. But when you open yourself to the possibility that maybe things do need to change. And this can be true for all of us. You might be going through something right now where you have felt a call or a pull to do something different. You have felt inspired that perhaps you would need to step into something new. You need to try something new. You need to change careers, change where you live, change where you're spending your energy. But it's hard. Just because you feel that pull or that call does not make it easy. But I have really learned over time that universe or God or divine voice that is calling to you, that then translates into your higher self, that it's important that we listen. There's wisdom to be found there. There's inspiration. There is dharmic purpose. And when we're trying to find our purpose, if we're not listening to what is calling to our heart, then we're completely missing it. And I knew that living in Jackson and taking my family there had been calling to my heart for a long time. And the catalyst was seeing the joy that my son was experiencing when we were up there. And truly, it was an emotional experience for me. Like, I'm getting emotional right now, even talking about it, to see his heart open. And I can't think of doing something that would create this much upheaval in my life unless there was a bigger purpose. And he for right now and the call of spirit is that bigger purpose. So I don't really know what's going to happen. I think there could be some awesome things. I know it's not going to be totally easy, But I also know that the ego or Omkara, like our kind of our egoic self, is really doesn't like change. Kind of wants things to be easy, doesn't want to have to work hard, wants pleasure all the time. And it's easy to stay where you are. It's easy to be stuck in the status quo, to get into a rut, to do what you've always done. And I don't think you have to do something quite as dramatic as moving to a new state or to a new place. But I do think that we need to take time to reevaluate, to kind of look at what is the higher self requiring of us? What is it asking of it that's really hard to do? So we're avoiding it, or we're ignoring the call, or we're ignoring the opportunities. Because just because an opportunity comes into your life once doesn't mean it's always going to be there. And so it's really important that we're listening, that we're paying attention to that. And we tend to dislike uncertainty. Uncertainty increases vata. As I mentioned, my vata's kind of been all over. I've had to make a lot of lists and write things down because I'm noticing that my mind's not holding on to things, and having that memory retention problem is also a vata issue. And so knowing that, okay, there's some tools that I have from Ayurveda that could help, right? Doing my Abhyanga, having my morning routine still going, even in the midst of chaos. And I haven't been perfect about that, I will be honest. It's been really hot here and I've had a lot of yard work to do. So I'm finding myself outside quite early before the sun's even up, wanting to do yard work. So I'm having to really rein in some of that scattered energy. But it is a beautiful thing when we use these Ayurvedic tools to help us during times of change or uncertainty, because it creates a grounding. I was teaching my very last yoga class that I will teach in Utah yesterday, and it was very poignant and sweet because I've taught at this studio for about 4 years, and so I love my students. I love that space. I love the energy there, and so letting go of that was an exercise in not attaching. And that's another thing when we move into uncertainty, is that we have to be willing to let go to step into something new. And I won't get the quote right, but there's a quote about being willing to step into the darkness, knowing that the light will follow, that inspiration that we've had, it's still there, but we have to take steps. We have to take action. Nothing can happen if we don't have action going on. And we don't even need to see the whole picture, because I tend to look at a year down the road. Okay, so we're going to rent for a year, and then what are we going to do at that point? Because it's so hard to find this first rental. We really want to buy something. Are we going to have the resources? How's it all going to work out? It's like, I want the end of the book to happen now. I want to know what's going to happen then. But it's a lot like when I meet with clients and they're new to Ayurveda, and I encourage them to eat a warm breakfast. And that might be the only recommendation I give them at our first appointment. They're expecting some big thing that I'm going to give them. And they kind of look at me like, really? That's all you're going to tell us to do? And they need to step into the darkness and understand that just those small things, staying present, doing the small things, lead to the big picture, lead to the beauty that we're searching. And it changes your whole life, being able to kind of have faith that what you're doing right now and being mindful right now is going to lead to where you want it to go, because you're on the right path. And we're really seeking sattva. So sattva is that kind of that peace, that calm, that bliss. When I've talked about the pond of water and being able to see the moonlight reflected in that, it's like being able to see into the stillness of the mind and the heart. And we don't need to see the whole picture. We just need to seek sattva right now. And so even though there's a lot of uncertainty going on right now in my life, and there might be a lot in yours too, I think most of us have uncertainty, at least in one area, that we can seek sattva in this moment, so then we're fully embracing, living, and appreciating what's happening right now. And I really love that. That totally helps to pacify vata. It keeps us in a calm and beautiful state, and it gives us an anchor. When we're going through seasons of change, we need anchors, and our routines tend to be the anchor, the rituals that we've created, the things that bring us back to a peaceful state. And it's really interesting. My daughter has got two guinea pigs, and the family that we're going to be moving in and renting from is a beautiful family. I hope we become friends, because I really feel a good chemistry with them. And you know how you just meet people and you're like, those are my people. So these are our people. And the wife of this family was really concerned about us having guinea pigs. Their home is very beautiful. They built this house. They're just going on sabbatical for a year, so they're coming back to it. They want it to be taken care of. And they were worried about the guinea pigs causing a mess or causing a smell or those kinds of things. And when I was thinking through it, I thought, okay, well, we could probably find somewhere for the guinea pigs. And then I looked at the fact that they are my daughter's, who's 8, they're her guinea pigs. And she's really kind of feeling rootless with all this, right? This move is the hardest on her. And so she's feeling like she needs an anchor. And for her, those guinea pigs are a constant, which let me tell you, guinea pigs live for a long time. We bought them during COVID. We thought this would be a good plan. We're going to have them for like 7 more years. So anyways, they're a lot more work than I thought they would be, but they're darling. She loves them. She paints their toenails. She gives them baths. It's very weird, but they really adore her and they get super excited when she comes in the room and they squeak and all the things. So anyhow, I told the owner of this home that my daughter really needed this anchor. She needed something that she could attach to and hold on to as she went through this change. And could they maybe consider it if we set up some certain parameters for where the guinea pigs are kept within the home and that kind of stuff? And it was so beautiful to see how she got it. She understood the need that my daughter had for having something that was permanent in the midst of all this chaos and change. So end of the story is the guinea pigs are coming with us. Oh, thank heavens. Because literally last night, my daughter ordered a guinea pig outfit online, which is so funny. She's 8 years old. She works really hard for her money. And she spent her own money to order these little guinea pig clothes. So she obviously adores them. What's beautiful about stepping into uncertainty is seeing how it all works out. We don't have to know how something is going to happen in order to step forward. We sometimes think we need to have the whole instruction manual in front of us for our life to be able to move into a new phase or into uncertainty, but we don't actually need to know beyond this step that we're taking right now, because the plan will unfold. Things that we need will come into our life. Resources will show up. Back in my teenage years, a show came out called The Secret, and I didn't really understand it at the time, but I get it more fully now that when we set an intention and everything we do is driving us in that direction, the things that we need, the resources we need, the people we need to meet, the opportunities that we need, they just show up. And it's not because we're sitting around waiting for them to happen. It's because we're taking massive action, moving us in a direction that gets us towards our goal. And that gets us towards that intention that we're wanting to live into. And it's really a state of being. I have noticed a huge shift in my emotion and my energy since we made this decision to move. And granted, I'm vata provoked and I'm a little bit overwhelmed and I'm working really hard to stay grounded, but there is such a joy that I'm feeling right now. There is a peace. There is a certainty in the uncertainty. There's a certainty that I'm taking the right actions and that I'm moving forward towards what is I wouldn't want to say destiny, but I really feel like this is where my family's supposed to go. And I don't know how long we're supposed to be there, maybe forever, maybe a year, but I do know that what we're doing right now is what we're needing to do. It's what's important for the growth and evolution of the people that I have stewardship over in this life. And so I just am so excited about it. It's so much fun. I do not love moving and packing boxes. I did it 17 times growing up. We moved when I was a kid before I graduated from high school. So I'm actually really good at it. I could probably put that on my resume as like professional mover, but I do find that it's very difficult. So I'm really using all my tools. And I recommend when you go through times of change, use the tools that I teach on this podcast to help you. And it's hard to say goodbye to my in-person clients and have them now convert to virtual. But I just know that this will be such a beautiful path for my whole family. And I don't know what it will open up for the Ayurveda Life School. It might create some great things. I've always wanted to host a live retreat in Jackson, and being there on the ground living will really help to facilitate and make that happen. So I'm excited that you can participate in this journey with me, and I just am excited to share the news with you. We kind of kept it under wraps for a little bit, so this is our first big public declaration about this move to Jackson Hole, Wyoming, which the locals call Jackson, by the way. We don't say the whole part, so I want to fit in like the locals. I might even buy some cowboy boots. Okay, I confess I already have a pair. I might buy a hat, and my kids want to learn how to ride horses. So we're really excited about all of this. I hope that you are embracing change within your own life, that you're being more comfortable with uncertainty, because that is where the growth and the evolution happens. Have a beautiful week. We will talk to you soon. Namaste.
Before you go, was this episode helpful for you? Well, the most helpful thing you can do in return is to leave a review in iTunes. The reviews are what keep the podcast going. And be sure to subscribe and share this episode if you loved it.
You can connect with me online at AyurvedaLifeSchool.com, on Instagram, and on Facebook at Ayurveda Life School. Have a beautiful day. Namaste.